Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is 6 on a Monday evening, November 21st, 2022, and this is the regular Town of Curry Beach Town Council meeting. We are called to order, and Commissioner Ellen, would you please give us the invocation and start us on the Pledge of Allegiance?
Certainly. Please join me in prayer. We pray for wisdom, for strength, for courage, to do what is right and good for all the citizens. May we put the interest of others above our own. May we act with love for the common good. May we be good neighbors, recognizing your image in every person here. We thank you for this council, our mayor, our town staff, our first responders, and all of those who work to make this place we call home such a wonderful town. Amen.
Amen. Please stand, Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. First order of business is the approval of the consent agenda items. Gentlemen, please take your quick review and tell me if there is anything to be removed or changes to the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All right. Motion to approve is presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda approved as published. Second item is adoption of the regular agenda. Please review the regular agenda and let me know if there are any changes.
So I'd like to make a motion to add closed session for attorney-client closed session in accordance with GS 143-318.11 alpha 3.
Second.
Okay. We have a request for a closed session at the end of the regular meeting after commissioner items. Therefore, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, we will have a closed session.
Mr. Mayor, I'll make a motion that we adopt the agenda as presented with the one addition from Commissioner Hagler.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I want to take a quick moment to recognize Mayor Lynn Barbie from Carolina Beach, who is here with us this evening. Mayor? Thank you for coming. He is here as we will talk later about a parking program common for both communities. Okay. We have any public comments?
No one was signed up to speak tonight.
Okay, no public comments tonight. Any presentations? We have a presentation from Bernard Robinson and Company, Victor Blackburn presentation of the full year 21-22 audit. Welcome.
Thank you.
As long as you got good news.
Always have good news.
Always have good news.
Okay. So Arlen has put a little presentation together for you. So I wanted to point out to you, if you go to So a couple of years ago, you know, as we finish the audit, we have to submit the audit to the local government commission for their review and stuff. And part of that is that there's an Excel spreadsheet file of the certain financial data that we have to input and submit with the audit. And they use that data to kind of analyze the financial strength of the units that are submitted for their review and stuff. So some of the things that we have to do under those requirements is we do have to report on financial statements, and there's a performance indicators section of that takes the financial data and they compare it to similar units throughout North Carolina. And if there was anything that was negative in that performance indicators, we have to kind of present that to you tonight and, you know, and kind of tell you what was going on and everything there. And I just wanted to kind of let you know that there was, in the for the 2022 audit, under that performance indicator tab, there was nothing that came up where we had to report to you. Now, on the second one, if there were anything, the units would be required to respond back to the local government commission of what your plans are and stuff. So again, there was nothing that came up that you need to worry about for the 22 financial statement audit. So moving on to the 22 audit, the audit opinion is, you know, I believe everybody's got a draft of it and stuff. So it is a clean opinion, an unmodified opinion. That's the same opinion that you received as long as we've been working with you. In addition to that, if there was any internal control weaknesses that were related to the design or the operations of those internal controls that were deemed to be a material weakness or significant deficiencies, we're required by professional standards to put those in writing to you. So the lack of that written communication that's in your package lets you know that nothing came to our attention that would lead us to believe that you have a significant deficiency or material weakness in the internal controls. You know, in the past, we talked about the general fund, and the important thing about the general fund is that fund balance available for appropriations, because that is, if you know, you're required by federal statutes or state statutes to have a balanced budget. So as you project out your revenues for the upcoming year and your expenditures, if your expenditures are more than your revenues, the only way you can balance that budget is reach into that available fund balance. So that's, you know, again, when we go through the the presentation, I want you to remember that fund balance available is a key component for you as council members as well as management. So you can see here the performance indicators for the town. This is municipalities with general fund expenditures between $1 million and almost $10 million. And you can see throughout the state of North Carolina about the medium fund balance availability is about 63%. The state wants you to have a minimum of 34%. And that translates into a little more than 4 months of operational support if you want to. So you can see that for 22, the town of Curry Beach was at 91.5, which is almost, you know, almost 11 months, about 10 and a half months. And you can see for the last 3 years, you know, in 2020 was about almost 78%. It did go up to about 93% in 21, and about 92%. So still you're ranging that around that 10 to 11 months of available fund balance to balance your budgets without generating any kind of revenue and stuff. So one of the other performance indicators is in the water and sewer funds for those municipalities that have water and sewer funds. And the quick ratio is basically looking at how financially sound the water and sewer funds are. So you want to have at least a 1-to-1 ratio for it to stay. So here for the town, you can see that, you know, again, the quick ratio is equal to 1, greater than 1-to-1. So the town, you can see, is in between, you know, 6 and 5 turns. Basically, that means your assets, your current assets, are 5 times more than your current liabilities. That's what a quick ratio means. Some of the other performance indicators is your operating income. They don't want you to have a loss in your water and sewer funds. If you are generating losses in your water and sewer funds, they're basically going to come back to you and say, what are you going to do? And typically that means you're going to have to increase your rates to cover those losses. So you can see there you've had positive net income for the last 3 years, as well as your unrestricted cash, your total compared to your total expenses less depreciation. They want that to be greater than 16%. And as you can see, you're way more than that for the last 3 years. You know, you're almost at 160% in 22. So again, you look at those performance indicators, and again, this is kind of compared to what the state wants you at, and you're way over what the state is required. So now this is a little more detailed breakdown. This is the total net position for town. This means this is a combination of your general fund as well as your enterprise funds, your water and sewer funds. And you can see that for the total, it's a little over $20 million for 22. About 12.5 million of that is in your general fund or your governmental funds, and primarily that's your general fund. There might be some capital project funds, but primarily that's your general fund. And then the enterprise, your business type activity, your water and sewer funds, is about 8.1 million of that. So again, that's the net position. That means that's your assets greater than your liabilities. So it's good positive signs there. Now this is a more detailed breakdown of the governmental funds. And the governmental funds, you can see, we talked about it's about $12.5 million. The important thing here is a significant portion of that is your net investments in capital assets. That's your fixed assets of the organization. Almost about $8.5 million. About $730,000 of it is restricted. And we'll get a little more detail what makes up that restricted. But your unrestricted is still about $3.4 million. And the unrestricted, now this is a little bit different than the general fund because this is your governmental fund. This is what we remember is like your GASB 34, so it brings in your fixed assets from your debts and stuff. But still, it's a good solid amount. And again, for your business activities, it was about $8.1 million. Similar to your governmental fund, about $5.3 million of that is the fixed assets of the water and sewer funds. And then the unrestricted is about $2.9 million. Now this is the general funds. This is your governmental funds, your general funds, your capital projects and things like here. And the thing I wanted to point out to you is we talked about that available fund balance. Well, that is the unassigned amount here. That's little more than $5 million. So that means that's where you can balance that budget. The assigned for the beach protections and the stormwater, you know, combined is about, let me do my math real quick, about $1.2 million. The thing to remember about the assigned is that is what you set aside for this. It's not required by state statutes or any laws or regulations. If anything happens to where you used up that $5 million, you're allowed to go in and unassign that money to free up that $1.2 million to cover expenditures. Things here about the restricted, we talked about restricted, these are the things you've got to set aside for the state statutes and stuff. And the restricted streets is the power bill funds. And you can see that between 21 and 22, there was a significant decrease there. That means that you use that money to pave the roads within the towns. The other one is federal asset forfeitures. Those are the kind of the drug seizure monies that you use. And again, they're restricted on how you spend money. That's usually for police equipment or training and things like that. And that did go up between the 2 years, but probably the significant amount of that restriction is the state statute. You can see that's a little over almost $600,000, and it is increased. The reason that increase is because of the amount of like your sales tax receivables that you will collect after June 30th increase during the year, and that kind of indicates that your revenues associated with those sales taxes have been increasing over the years. And then the new item, there's a new accounting standard that the town had to adopt, and it related to leases. So this non-expendable leases was the result of the adoption of that lease accounting standards. And And the good thing is, this is not a lease liability issue here. This is actually a lease receivable. So as you're leasing governmental properties with Curry Beach to sale providers, they're paying you leases, and this is, you'll see that there's a lease receivable asset and a lease liability associated with it, but this is the kind of like the future income that you will earn off of that lease is what that is. This is a budget versus actual comparison for the governmental funds. And you can see, we talked about earlier, if you look at a budget, you projected revenues of a little over $7 million. Your projected expenditures were almost $8 million. So that was a deficit. There were some other financial resources coming in, primarily some issuance of debt to cover some capital outlay. So that you ended up having to kind of dip into your fund balance of about $300,000 to balance the budget. But the good thing is, again, you had a record year in your revenues. About $730,000 more revenues came in than what you projected to come in. You are able to save a little bit on your expenditures, about $770,000 in your expenditures through the year. They come up to, you know, about a $840,000 increase in your fund balance here in the year. And this is the water and sewer funds. We talked about it earlier that you had a net positive change of about $384,000. But you can see that you're generating about $2.4 million in revenues, a little more than $2 million to provide those services. And again, you can see, you know, the $384,000 that we talked about increase. That's the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any questions about the financial statements or anything?
I don't know if you would be prepared at this point to answer that, but how do we look from a debt ratio?
Say that again, sir.
How do we look from a debt ratio?
Debt ratio, I don't know the exact calculations for you, but basically, my experience with other governmental entities, your debt ratio is probably one of the better ones for town. I mean, most of your debt is associated with capital additions that are required by the town. You're replenishing your fleets and stuff like that, so you're going out and borrowing money for that. So that's normal. It's when you, the things you worry about is when you or borrowing monies to cover operations and stuff. I mean, that's not the need. The primary reason that you are taking out debt is because the interest rates are kind of low and you don't want to use up your accumulated cash to pay off that debt. You want to be able to kind of spread that cost out over a 3 to 5 year period. So I would, you know, to answer your question, I think you're probably one of the more sound governmental entities because you are taking it out. It's more of a cash management tool than needing to take it out to actually finance your capital position.
Thank you. I did actually know that. I wanted them to know it. So, gentlemen, do you have any questions on the audit?
Congratulations to Arlen. Fine work he and
yes. Fantastic guidance, right?
Well, and the department heads for controlling
costs. Department head for controlling their spending.
Yes, let's not forget the guys in the back who are controlling their costs.
I think it's important to state, too, that it looks like we have a lot of money in fund balance, but one bad storm and we could use up a majority of that.
Well, yeah.
We've got to have that ability to have the funds on hand until we get reimbursed or if we have catastrophic things.
So sure.
Good position to be in.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate your assistance. Appreciate the report.
Okay. Y'all have a nice Thanksgiving.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you very much, Arlen and team.
So, Arlen, do we need to vote on something so you have what you need to send the letter out? No? Okay.
So, point of fact there. Moving on to committee business, that's the only presentation we have this evening. Bike Ped Advisory Committee. Mo, what do you got for us?
A few things. Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, Commissioners, staff, and guests. I want to start by thanking you for approving Will Reynolds as our new committee member. Will has had 37 plus years working with the National Park Service, so I think he's going to be a great asset to our committee. October was a busy month for our committee. We spent our meeting creating our strategic plan, which is in front of you, and we'll be focusing on six areas to accomplish this year. Our committee appointed Eileen Klute as the vice chair, and Eileen and I attended the holiday market last Saturday, talked to the passersby, answering any questions they had about our newly approved comprehensive bike ped plan. And I also want to acknowledge and thank Alan Crum, who assisted us. When I asked Alan to recap his experience, the vast majority of the people he spoke to were excited about the plan and anxious to proceed. He did speak with a few, as did I, who were opposed to some of the ideas we have for moving people safely through our town. But the plan is just a plan. One resident mentioned that our committee pays more attention to people on bikes than people walking, but I can assure you that is not the case. At this time, we are moving forward with the redesign at Fort Fisher and K with the help of the NCDOT grant money, and updating crosswalks through our town with lights, possibly art, also with state granted money. NCDOT approved it, adding a crosswalk at K and Settlers to 6th, making it safer for people south of K to travel north and then back south. And one resident asked if we could add a crosswalk at J, so that's something we'll need to discuss. Our committee also attended Bike Walk NC this month, either in person or virtually. And the connections that we made with WMPO, NCDOT, East Coast Greenway, AARP, and other agencies who want to help our town move forward in equitable and safe active transportation for all was invaluable. AARP will be giving a presentation at our December meeting on crosswalks and creating a high livability community enhanced with walkability and bikeability. Our meeting is the first Monday of the month in December at 3 o'clock here in Town Hall, December 5th. The East Coast Greenway has been designated as a state trail. We have the great privilege and honor of being part of this corridor, which directs pedestrians and people on bikes from Key West to Maine. Curie Beach is the connector, about right in the middle of the country. 2023 has been designated as the year of the trail, and the East Coast Greenway, along with other North Carolina state trails, will be promoting this. We will get the information over to our marketing committee as soon as, because this is free advertising for us. This is one of our new signs for the Spot Lane Connector, working on education to direct people on public roads, walk left, bike right. And again, I just want to thank you for the support. We desire to serve the residents of our town and hope to raise awareness and respect for all travelers with equity and safety. Any questions?
Nice work. Guys are busy. My thanks to the committee. John?
Well, I do have, I was looking through your strategic plan, which is a good plan. I would recommend that you put the last names by the people.
Okay. Usually on our minutes, we just have, I guess, the initials. So these are all people that are on our committee.
But if somebody were to pull this up and wanted to call somebody, they wouldn't necessarily know all the members of your
committee. Okay, that's a good idea. We can revise it and add those.
Any other questions?
Sure.
Mo, thank you.
Mo, do you want to also mention your request that you have to put on the agenda?
Oh, yes. There are seven people on our committee. We have, as you can see on the strategic plan, a lot on our plates to move forward with. And because we're all volunteers, some of us are still working, some of us are retired. We were going to ask council to look at the request to add two more members to our team. For example, the holiday market that we just did on Saturday, Eileen and I were the only two that were available. And next weekend, we can't do it because nobody's available. So things like that. And then it would also help us when we can't meet it in a subcommittee because it would be a quorum. So we have to just have a few people, and I guess we're just asking that you consider that.
How many people do we have, Mo, the last time apply for the open seat?
When from the group that Will was chosen from, we were looking at 17 applicants.
From the last year.
Yeah, from the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we keep them for a year.
I think while we have that kind of interest, we should respond. Any input from council?
Well, I'm in favor. I'm in favor.
Well, if there aren't any questions, I'll certainly entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we agree with the Biped Advisory Committee and allow them to raise their committee membership from 7 full members to 9 full members.
And I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and we have it seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
There you go, Mo, you got it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Community Center Committee. Community Center Committee has met. They meet every month, and there will be, you may have to help me with this, Nikki. Is it December 6th? December 4th. December 4th, they will have a holiday gathering, which is for a cookie exchange. And that doesn't mean bring Oreos to get homemade cookies full of butter and sugar. All right? So if you want to make cookies and go in and swap out cookies, that'll be a great place to do it, a great place to meet people for the holidays. Also, there will be, for a slight fee, I think it's $5. For $5, they will show you and assist you in building one of the globes that we have built over the last few years, which is really chicken wire with your lights in it, and they hang from the trees, and when you drive through town you can see them, and they look pretty nice. So December 4th, and there'll probably be a few, I don't know, maybe coffee and stuff like that, and certainly a lot of laughs. So give it a thought. Anything I missed, Nikki?
No.
Okay. Historical Preservation Committee.
Nothing from the Historic Preservation Commission.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. Chairman Galbraith. Land Use Plan Committee.
Just our recommendation to approve the land use plan later on the agenda.
Okay. Do we have? I guess we're going to talk about that later. We're going to do this now. I guess we'll look at it now. Okay. Any discussion about the land use plan?
It's later.
It is later. Okay. Thank you. Marketing committee.
No update, sir.
Okay. Parking committee. The parking committee met with premium parking. We finished the year down slightly from last year's figures. The major issue, we started way ahead in May, however, we spent way ahead in April. However, we had all of May and the first 2 weeks of June with pipes along our beach, if you all recall. Pipes that you had to take ramps over and down to get to the other side. So there was a slight impact in the revenue. However, we also saved a lot because it wasn't our first year of operations, whereby we had a lot of spending. Therefore, after you took a look at what we made last year, what we made this year, we made approximately $20,000 less, give or take a few in change. So we were at about, Arlen, 570 profitability?
I forget the exact, but that's probably in the ballpark. So.
Okay. So very close to what we accomplished last year, even though we had pipes along our beach. And because we keep score, here's a very interesting fact. And it'll be a fact that I bet the mayor of Carolina Beach will go back and look at as well. It rained every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the week of in the month of July, except Saturday of the last week. So there was a little bit of problem in July in the fact that on the weekends we did not see some of the revenue that we expected. So not all bad news, just we could have done better, and next year I anticipate we will do better. Planning and zoning.
Craig Galbraith, chairperson of the Planning and Zoning Commission. You have before you a proposed text amendment application for KBC 1536070, location of accessory buildings on residential lots. Before I start on this, I just want to remind everybody that text amendments are typically brought to planning and zoning and ultimately to the council by an individual situation, but a text amendment does affect all of Curie Beach, and so you have to look at it from the perspective of all of Curie Beach, even though you have a specific application here. I'm not going to go through the actual proposal, you have that in front of you, but essentially this is to change the accessory buildings and the location having to do with the setbacks. And we had a lively discussion. The general feeling was on one side, no, that it shouldn't be, even though John has a number of situations where there is incursion into the setbacks by accessory buildings. But the general feeling and the discussion of planning and zoning was that if we recommend this, it has to be with strict other requirements such as height requirements and so forth, because it is going to impede on other people's views, backyard, the closest to the backyard, safety issues, and some of these issues related to setbacks. The other position, which is the position ultimately that the planning and zoning is recommending, is to recommend not doing this particular text amendment, because we felt that it does affect all of the town of Curie Beach and that it really isn't appropriate and our existing ordinances is proper and correct.
Okay.
I would just touch on that by mentioning that PZC's consistency statement is in your package.
Yes.
And the crux of that recommended denial laid in the fact that there was concern that even though it's minimal of putting structures more into the setback, could have adverse environmental impacts and impede first responders. That's the crux of PZC's position.
Also impacts to emergency services potentially. So any discussion on this point, gentlemen? We have a recommendation to not accept the text amendments, meaning things will stay or setbacks the way they are today.
Also, you might want to see if the applicant's here. I don't know whether the applicant is, but if so, they may want to speak.
I don't see the applicant.
And I believe building inspections also weighed in on this. I don't know if you want to hear from them or not.
Who did? I'm sorry.
Building inspections.
Okay. John, I always look at you as part of P and Z, but go ahead.
Yes, sir. We wrote a memo on this. And bottom line, just like you guys have heard from us before, we get these types of requests all the time to allow a shed or a small structure or a pergola in the setback. And so most of the time we can diffuse those situations, but a lot of times people do want to pursue their rights and apply for the text amendment. So we really don't have an opinion on it. But if you were going to allow it, we had some restrictions that we would suggest.
Okay. So.
So fire does have an opinion.
What's that?
The chiefs here, the fire department did have an opinion on it in the emails, which is in our packet.
Yeah, I did see that. Okay, any questions for John on his point? No. Chief, did you want to say anything?
No, sir, nothing more to add than what was put in the email. It's mostly a safety issue with access and ladders and hose advancement and that sort of thing from the fire department.
Okay.
And just to add to that, so at least two times on the land use plan that we looked at earlier, on page 66 and page 50, it talked about setbacks and the danger of fire in our town. Mm-hmm. And so I'll make a motion if everyone's ready, if they feel like they have their opinions, mm-hmm. but make a motion that we reject this request and maintain the setbacks in accordance with the statutes of the town.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, text amendment denied.
You have a consistency statement. Yep. They yes. vote against if you want to entertain a motion to...
Yes, we'll do that.
Make so a can... motion that we adopt the zoning consistency statement NCGS 160D-605 that says the proposed text amendments are not consistent with the land use plan.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Done with that.
Craig has one more thing.
Go ahead.
Craig has one
yeah.
thing.
Don't you have another item?
Connie.
Markle's application.
So you guys didn't interview, town council didn't interview.
Oh, okay. It was under his, so that's, mm-hmm. that was his. Okay.
All right. Shoreline access and beach protection.
No. Connie Markle's application for the standby.
Yeah.
Design.
Hang on a second.
Your next
oh, it is. Sorry.
I missed that. Yeah, the planning and zoning interviewed two applicants for our alternate position. We have a resignation, I'm sure as you know. And so at that particular time, the alternate then becomes the regular member, and then the council has to appoint a alternate member. We did interview two applicants, and our recommendation is Ms. Connie Markle.
Okay.
Did you want me to come up?
Could you come up front, please, a little bit?
I'm not going to let you off that easy.
Yeah.
Honey, I'm going to ask that maybe you stand in the center so that you don't have to yell from over there, just if they have questions, because of the computer.
Just stand here?
Yeah. We had a little bit of, we had some problems with our microphones this evening.
That's okay.
So, anyone have any specific questions for Connie?
No, I was present for her interview at the PZ meeting. I think she's highly qualified and has been a real asset to the community for a number of years, serving on several other committees in the past.
Yeah, and I've worked with her for the last 2 years on the Stormwater Committee. Hate to see that she's considering leaving, but I understand. So,
broadening my horizons.
Yeah, definitely supportive. And I do like that you were on the Board of Adjustment before. I think that's a nice progression to go to PNZ as well. So I have no questions, sir.
So from my perspective, Connie, you've served the town in a variety of places. You've served your HOA in a variety of executive positions. You've served your company in senior executive positions. And I, too, had the opportunity to interview you for an open commission chair. And I am more than happy that you have stepped forward for this. So I don't I don't have any questions. I think I know what's on your mind.
Go ahead. How about
so far, this is easy.
I agree with
this
what everybody's saying.
So far, John.
Well, Connie, we, you know, you're involved in the community with, you know, helping with Island Men and some other things. We know you have a commitment here to us in town, and we appreciate your willingness to serve.
Thank you. I look forward to being
with all my work with the military and military companies. I called a couple of buds at Lockheed Martin. I got all the lowdown. I fully support Connie being
okay.
I make a motion we approve Connie Markle for the alternate member of Planning and Zoning and the full member of the Historic Preservation Society. That's what you're asking about.
Yeah, good. I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Welcome, Connie. Again.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Mayor Pro Tem and council members. Thank you. I'll work with you on my replacement. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Pick a good one. Okay. Now we can move on. Shoreline access and beach protection.
Nothing new to report.
Okay. Stormwater committee.
Nothing new to report. We still await the state's approval of our plan.
Okay. We have any idea when they'll...
No.
Okay.
It's been submitted for 16 months with a bunch of other communities. So, and they have a lot of openings. If you look at the state's system for stormwater, they have multiple openings across the state, like a lot. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Okay. All right, then we'll move on to department head business administration. Mandy?
I need you guys to appoint an alternate member for the COG, for the Cape Fear Council of Governments.
Okay.
Is that something we were supposed to have done all along?
Yeah, but you guys always, like, don't. we've got our member, but you know, like, mm-hmm. we'll figure it out, we'll think about it, and so now they're emailing me and they want an alternate.
So who's okay. our member?
Alan is, and we don't excuse him for any reason, so I don't know why we need an alternate.
Yeah, I know, and normally I don't give an alternate, but I have to now.
You want to be the alternate, John?
Yeah, I'll volunteer.
Sweet.
All right, we have a volunteer.
Make a motion, John Allen is our alternate.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
If you get to go with me to the one meeting a year, I'll go.
No problem. I'll drive.
Okay. Building Inspections Department. Mr. Batson, what do you have?
You have before you today a text amendment for 15.36.140. This was an issue that was brought to my attention, and I brought it to council's attention a couple of months ago. But this is the ordinance that we put into play in 2008 regarding roof pitch. I was here when we put the ordinance into effect, and I remember it, but I actually went back and listened to the minutes to make sure my memory was correct, and for the most part, it was. We put this ordinance into effect to try to discourage big, boxy-looking duplexes or flat-roof structures in Cary Beach. As you know, over the last couple of years, we've been doing some significant updates to our ordinance based on the new legislation 160B. And so we've made a lot of changes, and this is one that we actually missed. Part of the 160D regulations prohibits a town from dictating building design elements, and specifically goes into exterior cladding materials, styles of materials, or roof structures. So in our research and also our attorney's research, it seems that this is not legal for us to have this ordinance in effect still. And so, you guys sent that to P&Z, and P&Z recommended that we delete that ordinance altogether. So that's what you have in front of you this evening.
Couple of points. We didn't miss it when we did 160D. We just didn't consider at the time that the disproof requirement was a possible design, building design element prohibited by statute. Number two, yes, PZC is recommending adoption of this text amendment, and as an aside, if you're for the amendment, that means you're for deleting it from the code. If you're right. against it, you're for leaving it. And finally, there is the discussion of whether it is a prohibited building design element or as PZC considered and as has been brought to your attention, whether it's a safety feature, et cetera, and not just a prohibited design element.
The state has no position on that?
No, it's an open question.
It's an open question.
Attached to your consistency statement is the statute in question, 160D-702. I've underlined the relevant aspects of that, one of those elements being the definition of a building design element. It's vague, it's general, but the issue is whether that text amendment could be viewed as a prohibited design element or argued persuasively the other way.
What data do we have on or comparison to what other coastal communities are doing? Do we look at that?
Legal did not.
I think Wes has a comment about that.
I mean, I'm not here for that, but I can tell you that for one and two family, I would tend to agree that would be a one and two family structures only. You can apply this to anything that's outside of the one and two family residential building code. But for one and two family structures, most local governments in our region would not have this in their ordinance. And we do have, of course, flat roofs and a number of RV communities in the region on residential structures. If you want to regulate it for commercial, et cetera, multifamily, you can do that, but not on one and two family structures.
So then, can HOAs dictate?
Yes. Local government can't, though.
Okay. So, yep. John,
go ahead.
Sorry. In 2008, and none of us were here, but since you did listen to the tape, I'm interested in a synopsis of the discussion, not a dissertation, but what was really the issue? So, did a citizen bring that up on it, or did council come up with it on their own? And then, how did we get there? Just for interest.
One of the planning and zoning members brought it up.
Okay.
Had issues in the past with some larger duplexes, almost creating a fourth floor.
Right. Okay.
By putting that flat roof up there, and that does create building code issues.
But. So was it what? Because they put a deck up there, or I'm not.
Once you get to anything three stories or below, you don't have to sprinkle it. But once you get that fourth story, you're supposed to technically sprinkle that building.
Right. How do they get a fourth story in there? So they make like 8-foot ceilings everywhere. Oh, and that happened here.
There are a couple that are. Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay. I just couldn't understand how we got there, right? So. Like I said, none of us were here, but I was just interested.
Yeah, in 2012, we made an amendment to that for ocean front structures, and that was based off of a new building code that required 1 foot of freeboard on the ocean front, for flood zones.
Right.
But this was never intended for commercial structures, and the thought process behind that is we didn't really want to restrict or impede new commercial structures that having problems either providing parking or elevating their machinery and things like that. And so the other thing is the viability of a three-story building versus a four-story building.
Okay, thank you.
Counselor, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
If we get rid of this ordinance, of course, we then are not involved in any of the stylistic or style of roofs, and there go, we really have no liabilities that I could imagine. If we say it is for safety purposes we keep this, do we have a responsibility to define what level of safety is required and therefore define the slope of the roof? And if it's wrong, we have a liability?
I guess I would say a couple of things. If you want to keep it and approach it as a safety measure, then what I think you would do, what I think would be recommended is to, as was suggested earlier, study the matter, figure out what you want to put into the provision, and put it in such a way that you're emphasizing the safety features. The second point I would make is, unless you take that approach, if you leave it as it is and you're challenged, then you simply would reach out to external sources to support your argument that it's a safety measure. But right now, what mitigates against that is the minutes from that earlier meeting and the fact that it's not, there's very little meat on that bone being having passed it for safety measures.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Thank you. Well, I think that kind of pushes me in one direction. Any other questions?
No, I guess just in commercial structures, we allow flat roofs. Do we have any commercial structures that are four stories in town now?
We do not.
Okay. So is there something, is there another provision we can put in, another ordinance or modify an ordinance explicitly preventing four-story structures?
You could. Once again, the reason we didn't address that for commercial structures was that we wanted to make sure that anybody that was intending on building a commercial structure was able to make that a viable effort by having four stories. And the only reason that they would be able to have those four stories is if we allowed a flat roof on that commercial building.
Can we separate residential from commercial? In other words, can you ban a four-story residential structure versus a commercial structure?
I think one of the factors is your height limitation.
Right. Yeah, but what we're saying is if you have a flat roof, you could squeeze in,
well,
potentially squeeze in a fourth story.
We'd have to define the difference between a commercial and a residential. Obviously, you know, a commercial building can be a residential building, and that's dictated by the building code.
Well, I think what's the term? You said one or two family residents. I mean that was what I was thinking.
Okay.
Not residential versus commercial.
With 35 feet limits, I mean, we're really not talking about a fourth story. We're talking about a flat top where people act like it's an open area for safety.
No, you could have 8 foot.
What's
four
that?
Times 8 is 32.
The building code is going to prevent that from happening now.
Yeah.
Right.
Just because of the sprinkler that would be required for that building.
So. Yeah, but you could sprinkle it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would just add sprinklers, right? But. Okay.
Do we need to work on this some more?
We don't have to work on it tonight. We could either accept it or we could say, let's do a little more investigating. So
again,
the question.
The issue is four stories, residential, commercial, that's a legit issue. That issue is not on this agenda item.
Right.
This agenda item is whether you want to delete the pitch roof requirement or keep it or something else.
Okay, whether we want to delete it as a...
For residential.
No, whether we want to delete it as a design item.
Right, well...
Well, that begs the question. We're looking at the provision as it's written.
Right.
And if you decide that the way it's written makes the pitch roof requirement a prohibited design element, and the only solution to that is to, you have two options. You delete it so the issue's gone,
mm-hmm.
or you dig in your heels and you say, no, we're going to approach it a different way. We like pitch roofs, but we're going to instruct staff to go come up with text amendments that convert that current requirement into a text that is oriented towards safety measures, but doing so does not eliminate somebody coming forward later and saying it's still a design element. The problem is that the 702 words that the text in 702 defining a building design element simply mentions style and I think materials of the roof, so that's so vague, but that's the issue. So the real question you got in front of you is whether you want to take a stand and make it into a safety provision knowing that it could be challenged, or getting rid of it and eliminating that challenge. That's kind of what it boils down to.
Okay. Thank you, Counselor. That clarifies it. Gentlemen, opinions?
Well, I think it's a design element that we should eliminate. We should look into this four-story issue if there's something we can.
If it's a design element, the state says we have to get rid of it.
Right.
Well, so that is prohibited.
Right.
Yeah. And so I didn't do an exhaustive search, but I tried to find somewhere where it says what type of roofs were the best for hurricanes. And then I also looked around when I was driving. We have a number of roofs that have been here my whole life that went through all the hurricanes with flat roofs. So for me, I'm with Dennis. I don't think that it is a safety thing. There's nothing definitive in the data that I could find. It says hip roofs are the best with metal, but hardly anyone in Cary Beach has a hip roof either. So with 30 degrees, if you're interested. But then after that, it goes all over the place. And some steeper roofs are worse because they have more sail area. And then it really is, then the eaves should be less than 20 inches so they can't get under the eaves. And you start getting out there and it's like, could I convince myself at all that I can say this roof is better than that from the data that I read? And I couldn't get there. So I'm with Dennis. I'm ready whenever you guys are.
Any other views?
No, I'll go back south.
Okay, well then.
So I make a motion for the consistency statement, which would eliminate.
The first motion would be to adopt the text amendment as proposed. Again, the proposed text amendment.
Thank you.
Delete that provision.
Fair enough. Make a motion to adopt the proposed text amendment 1536-140 to eliminate the roof pitch requirement.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. We've gone through discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
And okay. The next order of business is to adopt the consistency statement, the one labeled 4 in your package, essentially finds, quote, council agrees with the Planning and Zoning Commission's findings that it's reasonable to consider the code requirement of a pitch roof as a prohibited building design element. That's prohibited under the statute. So if you want to entertain a motion for that.
Make a motion to approve the zoning consistency statement 4 in accordance with the attorney's guidance.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second, and discussion is closed. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right. Moving on to the finance department.
I have one more thing.
Oh, you do, John? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This past month, we sent Code Officer White to school in Greenville, North Carolina for managing floodplains. I have an NFIP class. It's a week-long class with a test at the end on Friday, and I just want to mention that she took that class, she passed the test, and she is now a certified floodplain manager for the state of North Carolina.
All right. Oh,
awesome. Congratulations.
Nicely done, Bethany.
Thank you.
Okay, finance department. Anything else to add? No? Okay. Fire department.
No update, sir.
Okay. Police Department?
No updates.
Public Works?
So Jimmy's out sick, but yeah, no updates.
Okay.
He had one request. He would, if the weather holds this weekend, he would like to do painting on Settlers Lane, which will be the white striping and the stop signs at intersections. So if council is approving that, we'd like to let our vendor know that and communicate it to the citizens.
I don't have a problem doing it. I know it's a holiday weekend, but that most time they do it on weekends anyway.
Yep. So. So
it's fine.
Approval from council? Yeah. Okay, I'll pass that on to Jimmy. Thank you.
All right. Oh, and Ed, I think he's going to pave those spots where we had to remove those, that concrete. I think they're going to, so you may need to block those off or something.
Okay.
I noticed in Jimmy's report that we sent, we had about 6 million gallons of waste, and we sent an awful lot of that down to Carolina Beach. Is that ratio just looked off to me a little bit?
It's actually good for us, right? So what the mayor's talking about is we have two places that treat your wastewater, our wastewater. We have a lagoon at the end of H Avenue that we've operated since the 50s. And we also have the regional wastewater treatment plant that we participate with Carolina Beach in. 2 years ago, we added a cross connect so that we could continue to route more to our lagoon treatment station. And for October, 6.6 million gallons went to the Curie Beach Treatment Center and 5.5 million gallons went to Carolina Beach. Okay, so that's just savings for us.
Okay. Track. All right.
So we operate our lagoon at about 65 to 75% capacity. That's where the sweet spot is to keep the bugs happy, basically. Yeah. And then the rest we send to Carolina Beach. So
okay.
It's good.
All right. A lot of things to worry about when you're running a town. So okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Recreation Department, Nikki. Any movies coming?
Pardon?
Any movies coming?
Not at the moment. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a couple quick announcements. We had our first of the two holiday markets this past weekend, and it was a smooth and successful day, and we hope for the same this Saturday as we wrap that event up. And we are currently having a Toys for Tots drive in the lobby of Town Hall, and we're collecting at the holiday market. We'll be doing a food drive starting the 30th through the 17th of December, 16th of December, and then that'll lead us into the Christmas event, the Holiday Hoobie Wuddy, and the house decorating contest is open for that, so if people want to nominate their houses and participate in that, please do so. And we, as well as the Community Center Committee event that you mentioned, but I just wanted to say those.
Did you mention the competition?
The Cheermeister is what's called the house decorating contest,
yeah.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Nominations are open now through the 7th of December.
Right, okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, old business. Continued discussion on the emergency operations plan.
Yes, so the plan has been posted since our last meeting. We've got one citizen's input, which I'll incorporate. It was a good one about having contact information with the HOA property manager so that we can inform them what's going on in the town. And then all of the department heads have provided mostly text corrections to errors or typos. So we'll get all that incorporated and then approve it at the December meeting, and it will be our operations plan for next year. So I'll be bringing that to council on the December meeting. If you sent me corrections from council, I did not see them. So I'm hoping you guys looked at it, but staff did what we asked staff to do. And at least one citizen looked at it as well. So.
Okay.
And all the emails are attached in there for you to look at what the staff recommended.
Okay. Next item, approval and adoption of the Curie Beach 2022 land use plan. We had a land use plan legislative hearing earlier and a presentation on what was in there. So now we can ask questions on that particular land use plan and determine if we want to accept it or not. I know we've been heavily engaged in every chapter. So are there any questions?
I have nothing further.
You have any questions?
It was a good process. I appreciate Wes and the council of government on leading us through this process, and very methodical and organized, and we did cover every chapter and reviewed and responded each month to the previous chapter. So it was a good process and very well thought out.
Yep, and a great document, I would say.
Great. Yep.
Any other comments, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, then I would accept the motion to accept it.
I'll make the motion that we accept the land use plan, and I'm assuming with resolution R22-12, adopting the CAMA land use plan.
And after that, you'll need to have a motion to adopt the ordinance. It's actually two instruments we're
approved. Should we do the ordinance first or the rest?
Well, you've already made the motion for the resolution.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Second the motion for the ordinance.
No, the resolution.
For the resolution. All right. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right. Next.
Then I'll make a motion that we adopt the land use plan ordinance as in the council packet, as presented in the council packet.
Do you have a second, gentlemen?
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, we have a new land use plan.
I think we can officially take that off of our agenda
yes,
now.
Yes, we can.
We don't have to.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Alan. Thank you very much for your participation in this. I'll just note you do have an official land use plan for 160D purposes.
Right.
This will proceed on to getting certified by the Coastal Resources Commission, hopefully in a period of 45 days. Once we've got that back, you'll get your official hard copies and so forth. But
excellent.
So thank you all very much.
Thanks for your guidance. Appreciate it, Wes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just very quickly, again, chairperson of the Land Use Plan Committee. Now this has been adopted, I would assume that the Land Use Plan Committee is dissolved. Is there a process for doing that? Because I notice it appears on the agenda each month.
I think it was an ad hoc committee, so.
We can take a motion to absolve the committee. We may want to do that after we get the approved.
That's fine.
Right.
I pointed out.
So bring that back up maybe for January.
Okay.
In case we have to get back together due to CAMA inputs or something like that.
I hope not, Mr. Mayor, and I was advised from CAMA representatives that it's 45 days. I will take that with a grain of salt. It could be very well 90 days.
Okay.
We will make sure that we were requesting that it be done expediently.
Okay, thank you, Wes.
Thank you, Wes.
Thanks, Wes.
Proposed text amendment for restoration of beach, Commissioner Panicali.
So this is based on our discussion last council meeting. And I relayed, I think, what was the general consensus from the town council to the town attorney, who generated the proposed text amendment, which I am in full support of. I think, again, this is to do two primary purposes. One is to minimize the size of the holes and the safety issues related to that. And the second purpose was to allow us a little more leeway in terms of enforcing this particular ordinance about digging holes on the beach. So I hope everyone's had a chance to read it. I'd like to thank town attorney for putting this together. So
thank you.
Really good ordinance, I think.
Any other comments, gentlemen? We all had the chance to read what's been added or what the proposed text amendment would be. I don't have any particular issues with that. I agree with Commissioner Panicali.
Reads fine to me.
I don't have any issues.
Chief, any issues with lifeguards enforcement?
No, sir. They look good. I agree with it as well. And it's something that now, like I said, we give them a little teeth to, hey, instead of just fill your hole in before you leave, it can't be any bigger than this and that. And yep. I think we'll still have issues from time to time, but like I said, at least this gives us a little bit of enforcement.
Okay. No further questions, sir.
Okay.
Make a motion to accept the proposed text amendment 13.14.020R.
Second.
Okay, motion and second. Discussion is complete. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right, new business. Okay. Our guest has been waiting patiently for us to get to this portion of the evening. There is an offer on the table from Carolina Beach that, as a parking community, we allow each community to participate in the other community's free parking program. When I mean free parking, that's probably the wrong connotation. There is a fee for resident parking, which is much lower than normal parking requirements, and each town has a fee. The proposal on the table is that our friends in Carolina Beach have a $40 fee for their residents to register their plates. They're offering that fee to us so that when we go to restaurants and visit their beach or visit their businesses, that we can also get a pass for $40, which is good for the entire season, their entire parking season. I personally think that's a very good idea. $40 is the fee because that's what their citizens pay. Our citizens pay a $20 fee for the ability to park all year anywhere they would like. We would offer that $20 fee to people in Carolina Beach. Now, we have had regular discussions. We've had a few discussions on this where we believe that the communities have a different complexities and different personalities, as well as the beaches. And it is not likely, we don't believe it is highly likely, that we will see a lot of people coming from Carolina Beach go to our family quiet beach, and probably not a lot of our residents going down to the, let's call it, the more entertaining beach that is in Carolina Beach. We may surprise them, though. You never know. In any case, that is what we are here to talk about. And this evening, if there is any thoughts on this program, the only thought that I would have, Mayor, is that I think we may have to do some limitations based on our available spaces, maybe one per household, as opposed to, I know your rule is any, you may want to apply whatever rule we apply to you, to us. So is there any feedback or input on this so that we can proceed and button this up if it is something that council would like to do for the citizens of both towns?
Mayor, I just have a couple of questions.
Sure.
Mayor, the first question is obvious. I apologize, but this proposal, I think I'm looking at a proposal. Does
yeah.
it have your council's blessing?
It does. So what you, I think what's on the board is the text from our mm-hmm. rate
right.
structure. It was considered by our council, I won't remember the date now, 6-8 weeks ago.
So staff and legal have reviewed it?
Yes, and it was approved.
Thank you. The other question I had, I got a little confused. $20 for Curie Beach when we buy a resident pass, but if we want to buy this joint pass where we pay $40, am I correct?
The intent here is that we would pay whatever their residents pay for that pass. Their residents pay $40. They would pay whatever our residents pay for our pass, and our pass and residents pay $20.
We maintain our current parking company. And they maintain their current parking company. So they're two separate. So it's not a joint pass. We would buy a Carolina Beach pass and a Curie Beach
pass. Here's the question. If I live in Curie Beach and I want a pass, I pay $20.
Right. Yes. For Curie Beach.
For Curie Beach.
If you want to park from Carolina Beach, you are going to be allowed to buy one at $40.
Okay. And okay, so if a resident wants to park from Carolina Beach, he's going to pay
$40.
$60 altogether.
That's correct.
Yes, it would be a $60 total.
If they choose to.
And vice versa, it's still $60.
Correct.
Yes. Yes.
So I think my concern, and you hit it right on the head. Two things. One, we only give two passes at that rate before the rate goes significantly up. Yeah. So you can't buy, like I have three kids, they don't all get passes, or if they do, have to pay a lot more, which is fine. I think we have to do the same thing with this, and I hope Carolina Beach's Council, you guys can go get together to work it out. But, you know, there's four times as many people in Carolina Beach as in Curie Beach, and we have about a sixth of the parking spaces, maybe less than that, maybe an eighth. So if I definitely want to have a joint pass because I want to be able to go get tacos and other stuff without paying the rates. So I'm well in favor of doing this, and most of our citizens, I think, want us to do it as well. So I think it's the right thing to do. It's the devil in the details kind of thing, right? So, I mean, did you guys talk about the fact that we would want to limit the numbers? Because y'all, as far as I understand, if I have a house and have five cars, I can get all five of them, right?
Correct. Is it okay, Mayor?
Sure, of course. So thank you, Mayor.
The idea here was no changes to each other's parking program.
Right.
If you limit your parking program any way you want, we limit ours any way we want.
Okay.
All we're really doing is giving you permission to come to our town hall and buy our pass, and we're asking that you would do the same. So if you limit yours to two,
right, they'd be limited.
Once
you guys
on the
table,
was, we would be limited to two.
That's right.
Same, just like your residents. That's the idea. And a little bit of the history for folks as to why we chose this, and appreciate Mayor Pozinski sitting down with us and discussing this, was there were a lot of other ideas floating around about this joint pass, but then when you get into the accounting of, okay, you sell this pass, now can I come buy one here, and then how does my money get back to Carolina Beach and two different parking companies, and I think that led us to this very simple structure.
I think you did it exactly right, Darrell. The only concern for Curie Beach in my mind is we want to limit the number of passes by property. And I think staff does that now, so they just keep track. So when you prove you live at 118 Spartanburg, you can only get one or two passes or whatever, right? And then we let them buy more than that for a much more expensive rate, our citizens. The second part is, okay, then do you just still open it up for the same thing, right? So if someone wants three passes. I mean, in my house, I'll just tell my wife this is that car we're driving when we go get tacos, and it'll be easy. But and then my kids can deal with whatever they want. Since none of them live here anymore, they can't have a pass anyway. That's all I have.
Okay.
I think ideally, with that one concern, I'm definitely in support of this, because I've heard a lot of people that want to go to Carolina Beach to the restaurants that are not going, that will support the businesses because of the parking issue. I mean, and I think it's good for your businesses, and it's good for our citizens.
Yeah, just a couple questions. I like the fact of the whatever rules we have follows for the Carolina Beach people coming. That, that simplifies things. The other one is we need to make sure that we don't imply that golf carts that aren't registered as our carts aren't allowed to bypass and come down. So that's the only other concern.
But then they can't get a pass without a license plate, right? So they wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, if it's a registered vehicle, there are rules apply.
Yeah.
If they have registered parking, registered golf carts, mm-hmm. they certainly can come here and get a pass for that cart.
So and just for clarity, the way, I don't know how your ordinances are written, but in Carolina Beach, a golf cart or an LSV is completely separate in the ordinance from automobiles. Nothing's being proposed here. I mean, you could buy golf cart passes this year.
Yeah, right? Sure.
I mean,
We didn't change anything
with golf carts. Right. It's the same. Whatever the cost, and I apologize, I don't remember that off the top of my head, that Curie Beach would have paid for a golf cart pass in 2022, it would be the same structure. So this really has nothing to do with golf carts.
And that was $40 according to the rate.
Right.
But on our side it does, because in Curie Beach, for parking, you park in a space and you have to have a pass. And the issue, and this is for your citizens, you can't drive on the streets of Curie Beach unless it's a registered golf cart with a license tag. And you can't get a parking pass unless it's got a license tag. So some golf cart person is going to be upset with you guys a little bit. You should know that. They should know that, but I don't know that they always do, right? But they won't be able to buy our parking pass under this agreement, because if they're not registered, they're not registered, right? They're not supposed to be on the streets.
Here's the simplicity. You must register a license plate. Right. If you don't have a license plate, you can't register one. So right. It's...
Right. Yeah, I think our process...
Right.
I think it works, although I think Mandy has a question.
I do. I just have a question. We verify our residents, not only from their registration, but through their water billing and things like that. They have to provide more information to us. I was out for a while. I did take a month. So I just want to make sure, has anything been planned with Carolina Beach on verifying residency, or are we going solely on the registration saying Carolina Beach? I don't know what your process is.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but
okay.
I think that's one of the particulars that you guys
can
get.
I think y'all can work
two staffs from work together so that you have consistency.
I agree.
But I think we do the same thing. I think you're required to have
a couple of forms.
Of
okay,
showing.
Who handles that for Curie Beach?
For
Carolina Beach?
Carolina Beach.
So it would go through assistant town manager Ed Parkham would be the best contact.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll reach out.
Great how that process works.
But when we're in doubt, what we've agreed on is our rules. They come here. It's our rules, what we require. When we go down there, it's their rules, what they require.
Right.
They don't have
to
be the same. They just
well.
Have to meet the rules.
Right. And I think we allow ours. We can do ours online. I think the only difference is all this would have to be in person.
Yeah.
So we have to go to Carolina Beach in person.
Yeah, but
probably.
Carolina Beach can still do theirs online.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. If we're going to do the same process for our residents where they have to show, and if they bring their water bill or they upload it, we don't do it in person. Even when they come in person, we do it online.
Right. Okay.
Because all payments are made online. We don't take cash or check. It's credit card only. So I'll reach out to Ed and set up a meeting, and we'll make sure it's all. Oh, cool. Thank you.
Okay, so is this something council wants to do once we get through this small red tape?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a yes.
Yes.
I make a motion that we give the mayor permission with the parking team to work with Carolina Beach to make a reciprocal agreement on parking passes that meet both towns' needs.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Mayor Barker, one of our policies in this town is if you have taken a bullet for this country and have a Purple Heart, and you have a Purple Heart license plate, you can park free anywhere. I'd like for you guys to consider that as being one of your additional policies.
That's an interesting idea. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine opposition.
Yeah, right.
You never know.
Right. So, Mayor Barbie, thank you.
Right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate
thank you.
Thanks
you
so late too.
Okay. Mayor updates. I don't have any further updates at this time based on the stuff that we went through this afternoon, this evening. Any commissioner updates? We'll start with Commissioner Ellen.
No, sir.
No, sir? Okay. Mayor Pro Tem?
I've got something on the agenda tonight. Commissioner Ellen and I attended the NC Byways meeting November 3rd and 4th up in Wilmington. Just a couple things that's on our radar screen. One, the North Carolina Port has received funding and authorization to study, do environmental study, to deepen the navigational channel from 42 feet to 47 feet. Now, this will take about 4 years, they're anticipating, but they do have the funding for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to study the possibility. With y'all permission, I'd like to reach out to the port to and possibly the mayor, and I draft a letter stating our stance and our concerns and our desires to be part of the planning process or this permitting process. So we're at the table with them. If we don't speak up, we're going to have problems. Some of the numbers that they get, or some of the information they've given us in the past, show us that overdevelopment is more of a issue than deepening the channel, but we didn't get any hard evidence of that. So I'd also like for us to reach out. I have friends at Division of Environmental, DWQ, DEQ, whatever it's called now, and we reach out to where they, the people with water quality, understand that we have a potential issue, and what would a plan B be if they would allow this to happen. So I'd like to be on the proactive side. If y'all agree to give me that leniency to do that, and I'll, anything that's sent out will, of course, be shared with council before it's sent.
No, totally support that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping Mayor Barbie would stay. Yeah. I wanted him to hear what I was getting ready to say. And
please share that with Carolina Beaches.
Yes, I'll make sure I do. And then we also heard, the last thing we heard from former Representative Mike McIntyre, who is now a consultant, is a big help with us, and they're trying to work. It has does not affect us here, except for it could help us with our cost and our future beach renourishment projects to get the COBRA definition changed where we can use up sand in the inlet. Because, see, that slowed down our process this year because Carolina Beach had to pump all their sand from our bar site offshore. Right. Right. And they want that. So they're working very hard with Representative McIntyre to get that changed and hopefully get people to understand that the sand, as they say, is we can't use, actually came from an area that we could use it back on, you know, put it back into. So those two things were kind of the highlights. We had some good sessions. They showed us how they tag sharks and all kinds of stuff.
Was Rouser's staff there? Because I think he is also chasing the ability to get to use that sand.
Right, Rouser's office and our all of our other representatives, along with our senators, are working hand in hand.
Okay.
And Representative McIntyre has been like a consultant on this. Okay. No one from Representative Rouser's office was there. That was a couple of days before the election, so they did not attend.
Do we have any idea who's supporting Mr. McIntyre?
I don't know. I think he must work for NC Byways.
Okay.
At certain extent.
Right, that would
and
be,
I think some other communities are paying
that
it.
That would be the right
but
answer.
He is a lobbyist for the cause.
Yeah, so. I mean, he was a very good congressman. So. Yeah.
All of the local elected, like gentlemen and ladies that serve in Raleigh or in D.C. that represent our county and the other coastal counties, a few of them attended, but almost everyone that wasn't in attendance made a little pitch from virtual.
Okay.
Zoomed in. And
good.
So we heard from I would say a good 90% of the representatives from coastal counties.
Okay, good.
That's all I have.
Commissioner Hagler?
So just, I assume everyone in here knows we had a fire in town two Sundays ago. The only point of learning for me to share with the citizens is if you see something on fire before you start fighting it with your fire hose, call 911. It's obvious from the videos that the people knew they had a problem and they dealt with it for longer than they should have. They end up losing their house. So if you see a fire anywhere in Curie Beach, one, don't assume anyone else has called 911. Call 911. And two, if it's at your house, I understand you want to protect your property, but get the fire department coming before you start fighting the fire. That's the best thing for you to do. Then fight the fire if you want to, but call 911. Same thing with medical emergencies or anything else. Make sure you've got help on the way before you start dealing with a medical emergency or a fire yourself, or water rescue or anything else. That's all.
Commissioner Panicali,
nothing.
All right. Okay. We have a closed session on the agenda, so we can take a motion so we can
I'll
go into closed session.
I'll make a motion that we move into closed session.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Mandy.